I am excited about this morning's session. I, in fact, was so excited that I woke up at 4:30 with more ideas. And I said, well, you know, I'll just go back to sleep. Then I got more ideas. But I said, all right, I'll get up and write them down, get them out of my mind, then I'll go back to sleep. So I started writing them down. I said, well, maybe I'll revise what I was going to do. So I've been up since 4:30.
That's why you're hungry.
That's why I'm hungry, probably. The title for today's session, if I recall correctly, is how powerful could we / should we be? And I think I'm going to, in a sense, not spend too much time on the should we, and even not spend too much time on the could we. And I'm just going to make some statements about it and then go ahead to talk about some tips for how we can live powerfully in the world of institutions that we've been talking about. Thank you, Barry. I thought it would be useful to define terms and to start with term of power. Just use the dictionary definition on that one, sort of improvised between two definitions. Great power as great ability to do, to act, to affect strongly, to influence. And powerlessness, which is an issue that we will be focusing on today, two different definitions. One is the state of being without power. And the other is the state of feeling powerless or without power. And the reason I say they are different is that I am making the assumption that sometimes we feel without power when we are not. And that's really the issue we're going to be getting at today. So, I thought a good way to start. The format for the day is I'm going to break us into small groups for 10 minutes, then I'm going to lecture for a while, and then on the basis of the lecture, I want to break us into small groups again. I had four places for you to get going in small groups. I don't think we need all four groups to happen, so I just want to get it. I want you, after I go through these, to raise your hand and we'll decide which groups we'll run for a short time. And I know you're just getting comfortable and I'll get you up and reseated. Okay. One group would be to share in a small group a story of a time in your life when you felt powerless and you couldn't do anything, and yet somehow you moved beyond that and things turned out in a good way. So to share stories of empowerment. The second group could look at places in your life where you now feel powerless. And that whole issue about whether you really are powerless or not is something you don't have to try to define at this point. But just try to say, I wish I could do this, but I feel powerless about this. I wish this would happen, but I feel powerless. Try to name some of the places. It might be related to yourself, to your own growth. It might be related to a friendship. It might be related to your children. It might be related to an issue at work, but just to name some of the places where you feel powerless. A third group could share what it is that empowers you. Obviously, it'll be different for different people. One thing that empowers me is playing hymns. I get a tremendous sense of power and movement, and when I'm home sometimes before I go out to an event, I will play hymns. Okay? A fourth group could look at some of the theological issues. What does the Bible say about power and how we are relate to it? How we are to relate to it. All right. It's not a big choice. These are good questions. I encourage you all to address these questions at some point, if not this morning. So I just want to show a hand, which groups would you go in for a short time to begin to look at this? Who would like to do group one? Okay. Group two? Okay. Group three. And group four. All right, we'll have two, three, and four. I didn't watch carefully enough.
I'll go back to one if there's somebody else.
We don't need to have them all covered, so you should really just go where you want.
Two.
Okay. Why don't we simply do two, three, and four? And ask you to shift.
You're going to three?
I was going to three and two.
This is four. This is four over here. Oh, you were saying two people.
Is this three here?
I don't know what it
is. Don't try that. I'm going to take notes on that. So this is an area of growth. You all teach me for 5 minutes.
So yeah, Paul is a great one in talking about power.
You're kind of doing
it
to change
the
policy.
When I'm weak,
I'm
strong.
Yeah, you'll want to. Yeah.
Sorry,
you'll want to. You said a lot. We went through that.
So what they're saying is it gets worse.
In a different way, though. In a different way. You know, maybe that one's easier for you.
So that's for sure. You've heard that mentioned.
I think power.
You have more time for yourself.
Then, yeah, you do.
Also, it's a couple class at first.
The grass has become strong.
I mean, they have a lot of peer pressures and
I gave a little benefit to myself, but God didn't so bad. That's always a lot of more rational. I have something to use last. Heartfelt choice is to surrender and obey.
The question of this session is how much power can we and should we have?
For me, it's been the worst
place. To do that means to give up certain kinds of things.
It's a good worst
place. The other thing I would put on top of that is a special form.
Seems like a lot of work to me.
Class, in this case, all men in the world.
Well, for the most part, I've known to. I've kind of mixed feelings.
There's a way which I cannot call at this point in some ways to
but I've got some, I guess I'm
partly
glad.
Giving up or letting go.
I'm ready to go on to something.
Not just
to
wasting power, still be power, but letting go of some of the power.
A lot of playing. Well, it's nice to be able to enjoy.
I don't think that's possible, but the line superstar, where Jesus brings out one
but no, Mary's.
For Jesus, I'm sorry, that's right.
Well, when will you learn what power is?
Yeah.
I can see you playing some power
by
relaxation.
I think that's why I relate with power.
If somebody asked me to really be self-supporting. Define as meant by the meek shall inherit the earth, take a stab at it. But I really have questions. You said that. What does it mean?
I swear.
A whole lot better for me.
It's really, there's fewer people involved, so it's a little hard to predict. It would just be easier if I were in a career path that I could just really, this is what I do, this is what I need to do.
It's all that basis. Had a structure already given.
If I were going into medicine,
the inherent process has ownership is transferred. So.
Internship, I don't know, whatever.
Death.
It's a step back.
Perhaps it's the death of the power based.
So on one hand, it gives you a heck of a lot of freedom. But that freedom can be overwhelming.
Yeah. And that freedom can be great.
So it's off way in the future. Is there any way that it's true in the present? That the unique inherent life in the present?
Probably they can appreciate.
So you're feeling powerless to be yourself.
I'm removed and conquered.
Is there good power or bad power? I am in care of understanding.
What do you do to me? I feel like I'm having trouble.
I'm supposed to do
I understand. I'm increasingly convinced that I don't think that many of the Chinese people who just let anybody push them around.
That's giving
me
power.
I can
see
the power precision or a group of 30 or 40 people of humbly knowing from whence our power comes. I know the answer. It's almost the more power that I recognize that it's not our power.
I don't know, I think it's
something from power. That's when the guy with the praise talked about John 10, that's about the runs of life.
I just have to look at that.
How do we know what
the artist is like?
The whole society. And to keep studio hours and try not to forget my time.
Kind of like a dog, sometimes you just can't find that is. We approach or take our minutes seriously. Powered by one's
I have the same feeling about my job.
Do you think meek could be nonviolent?
In relation to sales effort.
The nonviolent aspects of meekness,
but the
strength of
you try and present
go
all
with
the options in as attractive way as possible to the hustle group.
Let's wrap it up in a minute or two, please.
And, these motifs of the salesman convincing somebody to buy something. One thing, my business is to get right in. I could never do that. if I try to get
very clear about it, because it's a funny word for what I'm saying.
But good salesmen, they try and empower and meet customers' needs in a way that also enhances the client's strength. Anyway, it's like once I've done my best in trying to do that, then it's out of my hands. So customers just want to know what you're all about.
I suppose you could
stay beside
them.
Or she can try and nagle my process and mess it all up and change everything I mean.
Conduct it in a peaceful manner. They didn't instigate
it can be a real problem.
Violence in themselves, but nevertheless, that was violence.
I'm in a school.
We showed that there was power there. I mean, next time you find your room becoming real desperate, then there's power involved. Like Christ casting out the demon, and the demon recognizing the
you're
going to make a fuss.
Powering something else.
Let me check in with you all for a minute. I would like to pull us back together, but I don't need to. If I'm interrupting three good conversations, we can go for another 5 minutes or so. What do you think? You ready to come back? All right, let's.
What are we doing?
We're going to focus back up here. Well, my excitement that I expressed earlier has already been both deflated and inflated further. I was listening to some people talking about some of the theological issues on power and realizing that there's a lot that I have missed in terms of what I wanted to present to you. So that was a deflation. The inflation is that we have even more to talk about, and I have more, I'm beginning to round out some of this. What I thought I'd do for efficiency's sake today was to pass out to you some of the key points that I'd like to cover, so you don't have to take notes and you can more listen to me elaborate on these. And I also wanted to get some feedback, so when you get these, you should take two of these. One of them you're going to give back to me.
Take two.
If you haven't yet figured it out, is some feedback. If you look down at the bottom of these, I'm asking you with each point that I make to put down a comment, and I give you five letters. L is something, a new learning that's important for you. R is a reminder, something you really have known, but it's an important reminder for you. A would be something you agree with, but it really wasn't necessarily that important for you to hear it today. D would be something you disagree with. And Q would be something that you don't really understand what I was trying to say. You'd like me to figure out a way to say it clearer. Now, of course, you can raise a question if that's when I'm going through. One of the frustrations about teaching sometimes is you give out a lot of ideas, and somebody would come up afterwards and say, well, that was a really great program, but you don't know what was useful and what wasn't useful. So I figured out this this system sometimes, something like this will sometimes help me to get some specific feedback. So, I talked last night about, let me just get a very quick one or two sentence, literally, summary from each group. From the group that dealt with examples of powerlessness or places in your life where you feel that way. Somebody just give me a summary on that, if possible. Maybe it's not appropriate. I mean, you can't do that without examples. Let's go to the other groups. Well, what did this group do?
How we are empowered.
All right.
And in one sentence, since we talked about so many things,
yeah.
Our friends, our surroundings empowers us.
Okay. Thank you. And this group?
Go ahead. And there are so many things that came up.
Yeah.
I think I'm thankful for that. It was said that our strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, the idea of Paul saying, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Something about the cross, a symbol of weakness, but yet it is the most powerful symbol in the world because of Christ giving himself to the cross.
The issue of short-term, long-term, and the definition of power.
Okay.
On powerlessness, I think in summary you could say a feeling of lack of control is what we talk most about in terms of what makes us feel powerless.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go right after this. Point number one, learn to smell powerlessness. And I use the word smell deliberately because it stinks when it is not a real situation, when it is a feeling. And it stinks in the same sense that last night I was talking about decay and talking about awful things in life. And when you talk about how evil can hurt people and how that's part of decay, I think the word smell is useful. And I think it would be an interesting exercise for perhaps some of you to journal, if you do that, or to talk to a friend for a week or for a period of time every day and sort of review the day and review the times in that day that you felt powerless. And again, maybe don't judge whether you really were powerless or whether it was just a feeling and you could have felt powerful. But review the day and just sense the number of times that you sort of felt, oh, I can't do anything about that, and gave up on something or was going about trying to do something but really feeling like it wouldn't happen anyway. So that's a possible way to work with that. God grant me the, what's this?
Serenity
prayer. Speak up a little.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
And that wisdom is what I'd like to, you know, is really the point I'm trying to make here. I would contend that a lot of places in our life where we feel that we can't make any difference, that is not true. And we need to be able to sense what those are. There are all kinds of phrases that might be relevant. Yeah. I would do something if only Eleanor, that's your name, right? Evelyn, sorry. If only Evelyn would do this, I would be able to do that and we'd be able to work it together. Something would happen. If only Evelyn would do it. The if only something that puts it out there on someone else and you're waiting until that someone else does something before you can allow something to happen. That won't work. It's too soon. Or it's too late, I should have tried that yesterday, or that's never been done, or we've tried that before. Powerlessness can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you decide that something can't be done, and then you don't act on it, it proves that nothing could happen, and it reinforces your powerlessness.
If
Yes.
I'm confused on, is powerlessness something that you you make yourself, or I guess I was confused at what you were talking about there.
Okay.
Something you put your, a situation you put yourself in that makes you powerless, or just something that outside of you that...
I think there are situations that we are powerless to influence. Perhaps not totally powerless in that we can always pray. But, you know, if somebody were to talk about the strife between a union and management that is in the Midwest somewhere, and I'm living in Boston, and there's been actually some physical violence on the picket line. I would probably, you know, although I could be powerful and go do something about that, given the limitations of my call, I would probably consider myself powerless to do something about that. Right? But I think well, this is the whole question. This is some of the stuff I'm trying to work out. I think there are a lot of situations in our lives where, for example, my relationship with my mother-in-law, before she was my mother-in-law, and when she first met me, she despised me. I mean, I do generate some animosity, but I have never generated quite that level of animosity. Was I powerless to do anything? Well, at some level, I couldn't get inside her brain and change that around. On the other hand, I think I consistently assumed that there were actions I could take that would make a difference. And so I never slipped, or rarely slipped, into powerlessness. And over a period of 2 years, because I felt that I could influence the situation, I always held on to the fact that if there's a bad relationship between two people, if I keep clearing up my stuff, whatever stuff I'm contributing to that, and keep thinking clearly about the situation, that eventually there's a good chance things will come around. Now, maybe I was not totally powerful to decide when that would come around, but I did not give up my power. And what I'm talking about with powerlessness, I think, is the sense that we sometimes do give up. I mean, I can look at other parts of my life and see where I'm acting as if I couldn't do anything when I really could be. Now, I don't know if that answers. All right. By this point, I've forgotten what the question was.
Well, it was part of our what empowers us. And I said food empowers us.
Yes.
We may be hungry, and if we don't eat, we will be powerless.
Did you have?
But our
I know. Did you? I'm really.
our sustenance empowers us. I would be powerless to be in Ethiopia right now. The Jews, who were personally very powerful human beings, died or gassed.
Yeah.
And burned. I mean, they were powerless to some extent individually at that point.
Yeah.
So there's two different kinds of power.
Yeah. And on this second, let's go right into the second point, to know what empowers us. I think another interesting exercise for you to do is to brainstorm a list of things and maybe do it in a group. What empowers us? It is quite different for different people. I mean, let's take the question of food. Good food empowers me better than any food. If I have something that has a lot of sugar in it, I am not going to be as clear-minded. Okay? So exercise empowers me. All right? Taking care of my body empowers me. What are the things that empower you? What are the things that seem to help you move from a state of helplessness, hopelessness, to a state of activity and caring and connection? Let me just hear four or five more from that group. Food was one.
God's creation.
Okay. So being in nature, is that, yeah, so that's something. See, if you have a sense of what these things are for you, then it can help you remember and get back in touch. Go ahead.
And also, for me, it was creating something, whether it was on my loom or knitting or fluting or something.
Okay.
Understanding the problem.
Okay.
I wasn't in that group, but I would think that
positive
feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Positive strokes was an important thing.
Yep.
Anger. And I don't necessarily mean that in a negative way.
No.
I mean, coming across things in this world that just really anger me. If I can approach that in certain ways, that can really be empowering to address that. Can also be very destructive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Write goals that are consistent with your faith values. And those of you that were here yesterday morning, we went over a list of some faith values. Write goals that are both long range, intermediate, and short range. Why? Because I think that when we're dealing with hopes, it's very easy to expect too much. It's very easy to expect too little. It's very easy to set out on a course but give up. And sometimes to have things down in writing that this is where we're heading can be very useful. It can serve. The long-range goal can serve as a vision, as a magnet. It does not have to be fixed in stone. You can change your goals as you learn more about a situation. The short-range goals are very important because all we have is long-range goals, we are dreamers. And you know, you have all these great ideas about what you'd like to see happen with your life in the next few years, but you're not really making it happen. If all you have are short-range goals, on the other hand, you're going to lack direction. Yes, I'll get this done today, and I'll get that done tomorrow, but where are you headed? You know, you're just responding to the pulls, to the squeaky wheels in the environment. So you need to have a full range of goals. And I think that's probably true for all areas of your life. Now, I'm making suggestions. I'm well aware that some people do better to have those goals in their mind rather than written down. We're all different. But I've just made, in a lot of ways, I'm saying stuff that's been useful to me. The goals that you write should be achievable. They should also stretch you, so that they're not just easy things to accomplish, but stretch for a little bit. And they should be measurable. So you could say, I've set up these short-range goals for the next week. At the end of the week, you could say, I've accomplished them. And that in itself gives you momentum. And that's another reason for short-range goals. It allows you, instead of being overwhelmed by the impossibility, if you were hoping for greater peace and security in the world, that can be overwhelming. You know, are we ever going to get there? But if you set out some short-range goals that are consistent with that long-range goal, and you can begin to see that you are accomplishing those and that they are contributing to the long-range goals, it can give you a sense of celebration and a sense of movement. Fourth point was to build relationships with allies and with adversaries. The last syllable of the adversaries didn't get on there, but that's what it is. Let's talk about allies first. Nobody is exactly like you. Nobody's going to see a situation exactly like you. But if you have a sense of something wrong in an institution you're working in or somewhere else in your life, you need most frequently to work with other people. You're not going to do it alone. So you need to be able to work with a diversity of viewpoints. You need to help people move past their own powerlessness. And very often that is expressed by apathy. Oh, I don't really care about the situation. Doesn't make that much difference. You need to understand your own apathy and other people's apathy. Apathy is often fear. It's often a sense of powerlessness, hopelessness. You have to dig under that apathy and find the real person who could be your ally. So far as adversaries go, it really depends on the situation. Sometimes you have to build alliances first and realize that if you were to go to your adversaries first and say, I'm trying to change the situation, that they would mobilize against you. So sometimes you do need to strategize and not necessarily go to your so-called adversaries first. Other times it's very appropriate to be open with all people concerned. So I don't think there are any set rules about this. There is all this stuff about, I think, doing the best you can with your adversaries, which means not necessarily seeing them as adversaries, seeing them as potential allies. And that's where we get to this next point, which is a point about striving for win-win situations. Situations where people who appear to be in opposing camps to you can get something that would be good for them. Now, that may not be something that they necessarily would choose. If you're dealing with somebody, for example, who's being very racist, they may not consciously choose to get past their racism. But if you keep in mind the possibility of their life being better by getting past that, you are still looking for a win-win situation. Get support from outside the situation. Now, earlier, the one, number four, we're talking about getting support within the situation. Number six, we're talking about getting support from outside the situation. You need to get the clarity that comes from talking about your situation out there. And that's why it's been very useful for some of you to come here this weekend who are working in the defense industry and be able to explore that, get some clarity about it, that whole process of support. I'm inclined to recommend for most of us that we have some kind of ongoing support group, even if it's a group that meets every 2 months to check in with. Perhaps even better is a group that meets every week or two. Family can do some of that. Sometimes family is so close that lacks objectivity. Number seven is to pray for help. I think there's a need to acknowledge our feelings of powerlessness before God, to acknowledge our disappointments, our hopes, to acknowledge at times that we can't just do the thing we want to do, we can't take on this whole thing, that we need God's help. Number eight was to visualize positive outcomes. And that, you know, that can be done as part of prayer. A lot of these are overlapping, of course. It can be done as part of a support group. Visualization can make a huge difference. Some athletes, I don't know how much of you know about visualization, but I have limited knowledge. I know that athletes are using that quite a bit. People that were doing those crazy ski jumps during the Olympics. Did you watch those ones? Of course, so those of you from Holden Village may not have seen it. I mean, I would never do that. That just seemed crazy to me. But they're going, what do they call those? It was not an official event, but where they would go up and then they'd do basically like diving off the high board. You know, they'd be flipping over 2.5 times, twisting around. But they would visualize going through that. That's how they would get ready for that. They'd visualize going through. Now, hopefully, you're going to visualize doing something as a little better stewardship of your limbs. Just a little value judgment there on the side. Number nine, respond to call and utilize gifts. And one of the things that came out of this group earlier was the cost of discipleship. And I almost wish that I had put, I do wish that I'd put that out as a separate one, but I'm going to bring it up here. We talked last night about how call involves sacrifice. It involves a certain cost. Responding to call involves a cost. You don't always know what that cost is going to be, but it is, sometimes you do know. So what I'm saying here is a couple of things. Be prepared to utilize your gifts and experience that cost of discipleship. I'm also saying that our point of power is at our point of call. That if we're not responding to call, or if we haven't defined call and we're trying to do all kinds of things, we're diffusing our focus and we're not going to be as powerful. God's power is not going to be able to work through us. Number 10, seek healing around power issues in your life. All of us have been the victims of power. Everybody, there is nobody who grows up without having adults who have more power to influence and make decisions be totally clear and respecting of our power as young children. It's just not, in a sinful world, that isn't possible. So all of us have had some victimization by teachers, by boss, by parents around power issues. I think it's important to come to terms with how it's been for us to be abused. Some groups have had a much more consistent dose of being treated, abused by power. And you think of all the groups that are on the underside of oppression issues in society. People of color, women, I think all the stuff about recognizing how we've been hurt and coming to terms with that is important, because this goes over to what I was saying here. If we develop the pattern of feeling like we couldn't do anything about it, of giving up as children, when we wanted to change something that was really just for us to change, and we had to learn a pattern of feeling like we couldn't do anything and having to give up, we will repeat that as adults. And I think a lot of the powerlessness that people, the unnecessary powerlessness that people experience in their lives, is a result of earlier hurtful experiences. So what I'm saying is, I think it's useful to go back to those early experiences, to talk about them, to pray about them, to make connections between the fact that I'm feeling powerless today. Maybe I felt powerless around a similar situation when I was a kid. Sorry, I always forget, but what time are we going to?
About 9:40, we need to save about 15 minutes for evaluation, so we need to another.
That doesn't give us much time.
So right. You empower yourself and go faster.
All right. I guess so. All right, 11 I talked about last night. If we are to really make a difference and really have influence in a situation, we often not only have to use our gifts, but we have to overcome our weaknesses. It may be that we're afraid to do public speaking, or afraid to develop a friendship with a certain person. We have to push ourselves past those weaknesses. Number 12, analyze institutional forces. do a force field analysis. What's working? If we have a vision of what we want to see happen, what are the positive forces that we could harness behind our cause? What are the forces that are going to block us? Now that I've started to go faster, I've forgotten things. Let's go back to 11 for a minute. Overcoming weaknesses means also, from my standpoint, dealing with all of our places where we need to grow in understanding. So if we're talking about power, it also means questions of money, competition, all the other related stuff. Get some clarity in your life around those issues, and you'll find that you're getting clarity around power issues as well. All right, 13, take calculated risks. There's no way that you have total information about what's going to happen if you try a certain thing. So you try to get as much information as you can, you assess the value of taking a certain risk, and then at some point you have to jump in and take the risk. And then you just simply use whatever information you get, whatever results happen is further information to understand an analysis of a situation. Number 14 is to explore and clarify your views on Christianity and power, which is what this group was doing. I think there's a lot to be gained from getting a sense of where we are heading. And I think it's important not just to listen to your pastor talk about it, but for you to say, this is what I believe now, and these are what my questions are at this point. Number 15, to have humility. No, that's, I'm just looking at my other notes. Number 15, to learn good time management skills. Sloppy time management gets in the way of a whole lot of people accomplishing things they could accomplish. And I'm not going to go into, there's a lot of stuff that's written on that, and if you want a resource, I can give you one later. But very important. Number 15, 16, have humility. I'll give you an interesting angle on humility. A lot of people in alternative institutions, this is the generalization, may or may not apply to you out here in Holden Village, have a false sense of superiority. We are not the people who are in those evil institutions, those evil big institutions. Aren't we better than them? I think we have to have humility to know that if we were in those situations, we would be tempted by power. And we have to have a certain humility whenever we are in a position where we do have influence, so that we work with other people. Instead of trying to put ourselves first, we keep in mind our visualization, our goal of working for God, and we don't get it confused. There are going to be temptations. And I think humility also comes in terms of accepting limitations, that we are not supposed, God does not want any one of us to fix the whole world. So I think it also comes in there. Number 17 is to engage your God-given willpower and determination. Sometimes there are some of us, we're different around this. Some of us can get so determined that we don't even see what's happening around us, and we try to force our way through and we hurt people. But a lot of us do the waffle game, where we say, well, maybe it could happen, maybe, and we don't say, I'm going to make it happen. You know, I'm really determined to see that this oppression stops, or whatever the issue is you're trying to deal with. And harnessing that determination is very important. Now, what I'm looking for, there we go. What I did not do, and I wish I had time for, was, here's some more suggestions. You go back to the support question, which was number what? Six. Suggestion there would be to look at all the reasons all the things you could get out of being in a support group. And there are a lot of things that can happen, a lot of reasons, good reasons. Also, look at all the reasons for resistance and good reasons for not being in a support group, as well as maybe not so good reasons. You know, it takes time. There are a lot of good reasons to be in it and not be in it. So I ask you to weigh that out, because I think that's a very important one. The other thing I was hoping to have some people do is to take, actually do some writing. And those of you who are leaving Holden and heading back, while you're still here, it's a useful thing to do is to write down, or soon on your, I think it's useful to do it while you're here. Just jot down some two things I'm going to try to accomplish in the next 6 months as a result of this workshop. And two things I'm going to try to accomplish in the next 1 month. And two things I'm going to do in the next week. Okay, you have 15 minutes, Barry.
You're finished. Did you want people to turn these? Get these back to you.
Yeah, I do. I also, we could take a couple minutes for questions. Did you, you want to?
All right. Stuff up.
Questions. If you'd pass these around to the, or up to the front, that would be good. There got to be some questions on these things. Who has a question or comment while we're waiting for Barry?
Yeah. The question is, point of power is also my point of call.
Yeah.
Sometimes my powerless situations are not necessarily the ones I'm called to, it's the ones I'm forced to be into at the moment. So I wasn't sure how to resolve the fact that it isn't necessarily my calling where I'm powerless.
All right. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think that what I'm trying to say is that we have the most influence in our lives if we're living with a call. All right, that was the point I was trying to make. I also think powerlessness can come up all over the place, and we have to choose whether we want to, with a particular issue, whether we want to try to engage, you know, whether we're called in a more specific way to deal with that specific situation.
All right.
But let me just say, before I sit down, let me say one word about the Center for the Ministry of the Laity. Two words. One is, we could use money. And there are many good places to give to, including Holden Village, so that's all I will say. But this is an organization that works out of Andover Newton Theological School, that where I work. I'm the director of workshops there. And we're just at a transition point where any input of funds at this point in the next few months would be very useful. It's not as much we need donations for the next 5 years. We're building a good base for that. So if you have some extra money and would like to learn more, consider a donation, please do. Second thing, we have resources, and we offer workshops, and I'm hoping to come out to the Seattle area sometime next year to do a series of workshops. So here's our workshop and resource brochure. This is, happens to be our general brochure here. This would be the main one. I don't have enough for all of you. If you would like to be on a mailing list and receive an invitation to get, first of all, I would send you this, and I would send you a complimentary issue of Centering Magazine. There should be some more around. Centering Magazine deals, it's a quarterly magazine, and it deals with all kinds of issues. The last issue was on women in ministry. This one is on competition. The next one, I think, is going to be on issues of ministry within the institutional church. Most of them are focused outside the institutional church. The next one will be on that. A lot of really good articles, a lectionary in here with some reflections. Good stuff. So if you would like a free issue of that, I'm going to send around a a mailing list. And what you will get, if you put yourself on the mailing list, you will get a workshop and resource brochure, so you can get a list of our books, because again, there are not enough of those to go around. And you will get an issue of Centering Magazine. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, here's the sheet that's going around if you want to put your name on it for to get those.
Okay, just a few minutes. I guess first of all, I just want to thank Ed, and we should all thank him for the work. He's come a long way to do this, and
more ways than one.
Holden doesn't exactly remunerate our leaders in ways that a lot of other places do. So I just want to give a special thanks for all you.